Good afternoon, right? I almost said good morning. Good afternoon. Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Today I'm breaking from the series and I'm following the Sunday school curriculum. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 to 46. I noticed the Sunday school had two passages, one on the Palm Sunday, the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, and also the death of Jesus, and a very long passage, but they focused on the death of Jesus, so I also focused on the death of Jesus for today's passage. Luke 23, verses 44 to 46. It was now about the sixth hour, and the darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. You know, in the first century Judea, if a person were to ask you, what time is it? They would go, oh, it's about the fourth hour, or it's about the sixth hour. So they had a very different time, different way of keeping time. And in John 11, Jesus says, aren't there 11 hours during the day? 11 hours in the day? The Jews had 12 hours a day because they divided the total daylight time, the sunlight time, into 12 parts. So the first hour would be very close to the sunrise, and the 12th hour would be close to the sunset. And if it's sixth hour, then it's around noon. So it says, that a darkness came over around the sixth hour and lasted until the ninth hour. It's probably from noon to maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when the sun is hottest and brightest. You know, that's like the hottest part of the day. And yet, during the time, there was a great darkness over the whole land of Judea. You know, some say that it was a solar eclipse. But, we know that's not possible because during the Passover season, there's full moon. And you can't have solar eclipse when there's full moon. So it's not a coincidence. You know, we have to admit that it is a miracle. It's God's miracle. Maybe the darkness was a sign of God's judgment on the nation of Israel for rejecting the Messiah. And we know that in 70 AD, the temple and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by Roman soldiers. Or maybe the darkness signifies the exit of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus says he was the light of the world. And during Christmas time, we know that, there was a bright star in the night sky, and that light led the Magi to Bethlehem. That signifies the coming of Jesus as the light of the world. And maybe it's appropriate for there to be a darkness as the light of the world exits. So when Jesus died, it says the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And none of the four Gospels give reason why. But we can understand what this means when we get to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Brothers, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body." According to Hebrews, the death of Jesus opened a way for us to enter the most holy place in God's temple. In other words, Jesus made it possible for us to have direct access to God. And before, such access was not possible. Can we look at the slide? This is the inside of the temple, and this is actually from this is before the temple, a tabernacle, which is sort of a portable temple. This was what they carried in the desert for 40 years. They had there's two rooms. One was called simply the holy room, a holy place. And the holy place had the candlesticks and the table of 12 bread, signifying 12 tribes of Israel. And then in the middle was the altar of incense that was sort of, you know, offering priest prayer up to God. And then there's a curtain, and beyond the curtain is what's called the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And, you know, that curtain doesn't seem to be, you know, thick, but it's a very thick curtain. And the holy place, where there's the bread and the incense, that's where the priests usually ministered before God every day. But then, into the Holy of Holies, or what's called the most holy place, nobody could enter. Only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, and just once a year. Even the high priest could not enter into the Holy of Holies every day. He was allowed only once a year. And inside the Holy of Holies was placed the Ark of the Covenant. And as you know, inside the Ark of the Covenant, what are the three things that are inside the Ark of the Covenant? You know, if you see the movie, one of my favorite movies was the first Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the Lost Ark was supposed to be the Ark in the Temple of Jerusalem, right? And, you know, Indiana Jones finds it, right? But what's supposed to be inside the Ark? What are the three things? The picture gives us a clue. One is a stone tablet with the Ten Commandments. And the second item was a jar containing manna, right? You know, the food from heaven. And the third object was a rod of Aaron, Moses' brother, on which almonds blossomed. So those three things were placed, and they signify God's covenant, God's promise to His people. And it was called the Holy of Holies because that was the room where God's glory would come. That was the place where God's presence would dwell. And when you enter into the Holy of Holies, you entered into the very presence, very glory of God. So, you know, people were not allowed to enter into the room, you know, not because God wanted to hide from His people, but because getting into the presence of God was dangerous. It was dangerous for us, for His people. Now, when the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies just once a year, and that day was called the Day of Atonement. That was a special day, and the Jews, they still celebrate it even to this day, the Day of Atonement. And on that day, the high priest was supposed to obtain forgiveness for the whole nation of Israel. So first, he would take the bull, slaughter the bull, and take the blood, and carry it into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkle the blood of the bull on top of the ark, which is called the mercy seat. The cover is called the mercy seat. Can we look at the next slide, please? And we can get a detailed picture of the actual ark. The top part, you know, is the lid. And on the lid is, you know, two cherubims, or two angels, spreading, like stretching their wings out. And that the top part, the lid, is called the mercy seat. It's as if God would sit on that seat to be the judge or to be the dispenser of grace. So he would sprinkle the blood on top and in front of the ark to obtain forgiveness first for himself and for his household. And then he would have to go out and kill a goat and take the goat's blood and enter into the Holy of Holies and do the same thing. Sprinkle the blood on top and in the front. And that goat was for the forgiveness of the whole nation once a year. That was called the Day of Atonement because the high priest was to obtain forgiveness for the whole nation. So this sprinkling of blood has a very important meaning. The mercy seat in Hebrew is kaporeth, and it comes from the root word called kafar, which means to cover, to cleanse, to wipe out, clean. So when the goat's blood is applied, the sins of the whole nation is wiped out. That the whole year's worth of sin is wiped out clean, and the sins are forgiven. When the people are cleansed, then God, the Holy God, can meet with His people. And Hebrews says that there can be no forgiveness without the blood. God is so holy that when sin enters into God's presence, when sin comes into contact with God's holiness, sin is destroyed. Sin is destroyed. So a sinner cannot stand before God. A sinner is killed in God's presence. So that's why the curtain was to prevent sinners from entering into God's presence, because they would be killed by the holiness of God. So it was meant for protection. Now, if a sinner was to survive an encounter with the living God, another life had to be killed for the forgiveness of that sinner's sin. So the forgiveness is very costly. To forgive the sin of another person, a life, an animal had to be killed. But animal sacrifice was not enough. It could not provide permanent forgiveness. And that's why every year the animals had to be killed and offered for forgiveness of the nation. And so the animal sacrifice was only a type or a shadow was what was going to be the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So God chose Jesus both as the high priest and as the sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice that can permanently satisfy God's wrath against humanity and obtain God's forgiveness once for all. Hebrews says that when Christ died, He went not into the temple made by God's people's hands, but He went into the temple in heaven, the original temple in heaven. And there, as the high priest, Jesus Christ offered His own blood as a sacrifice. And the blood of Jesus was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And that sacrifice of Jesus Christ satisfied God's righteous anger, God's wrath against humanity, and obtained permanent forgiveness for all people at all times. And that's the reason why Jesus was sent. We can describe Jesus as the great physician or great healer. We can say that Jesus is a great teacher or rabbi. We can say that Jesus is a great miracle worker. But the very essence of Jesus is that He is the sin bearer of the world. He came to bear our sins and to be offered as a sacrifice. And Isaiah says, "The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Jesus came to bear our sins and to die as an atoning sacrifice. And because of Christ's sacrifice, the curtain in the temple was torn. And anyone now who believes in Jesus can enter into the Holy of Holies. Anybody can talk directly to God and not die, survive, encounter with God because of what Jesus did. When we trust in Christ, the permanent forgiveness obtained by Jesus is applied to us, and our sins are forgiven, and we can become children of God. We can become righteous before God's eyes. You know, we wonder, how can something that happened more than 2,000 years ago, how can a sacrifice of Jesus 2,000 years ago have any effect on my life today? How can it cleanse my sins today? It is because Jesus entered not the human temple, but the temple that is in heaven. Temple of God that is outside our time, outside the space. And we know that God is outside the space and time. God is not bound by space and time. And same thing with God's temple, same thing with God's kingdom. You know, we are bound by time and we think in chronology, but God is outside time and space. So what Christ did, God can enter into our history anytime, at any point, from outside time and space. So what Christ has achieved on the cross can be applied to anybody throughout history, at any time. So if you believe in Jesus Christ today, if you say, Lord, I believe you died for me, I believe you rose to give me eternal life, it's as if Christ died for you today. Is that effective? The effectiveness of forgiveness, effectiveness of Christ's sacrifice is permanent. It's throughout eternity. And the effect can be applied to anybody at any point in history. Then how can we enter into the Holy of Holies today? We approach God in the name of Jesus. That's how we do it. We approach God in the name of Jesus. Jesus promised that whenever two or more are gathered in His name, that He will be present. Gathering in the name of Jesus means that we come to God not based on our righteousness, not based on our works, but based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. We come before God trusting in what Jesus had accomplished for us as a perfect sacrifice. And that's why the author of Hebrews, after saying that we are to enter confidently into the Holy of Holies by blood of Jesus, he says, let us not neglect meeting together. Because when we meet together in the name of Jesus, that's when we enter into the Holy of Holies. That's when we can experience God's presence together as God's people. And that's a great, great privilege. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, we are entering into the Holy of Holies to commune with God, to have fellowship with God, to listen to God, to talk to God. Praying in the name of Jesus means that we enter into the very presence, into the Holy of Holies. So whenever we gather to worship in the name of Jesus, whenever we celebrate the sacraments in the name of Jesus, whenever we go into our closets and pray in the name of Jesus, we are entering into the Holy of Holies. The last words of Jesus on the cross, Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. Now, Jesus always called God Father, and even to the last point of his life, he says, Father. And he taught disciples, when you pray, call God, not God, but Father. Call God your Father. We can call God our Father when we come to God in the name of Jesus. Before, the Jews dared not call God their Father. They could not imagine calling God their Father. But when we come to God in the name of Jesus, we come before God as His children, crying, Abba, Father. We lean on God's everlasting arms, and we can talk and listen to God as our loving Father. You know, one of my favorite stories when I was a child, the Narnia Chronicles. You know, some of them came out in movies. Out of the seven books, my favorite were the first two, the magician's nephew, and the second book, which is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Now, when the kids get into the wardrobe, they enter into the world of Narnia, right? They enter into a different world. Narnia is sort of a place outside of time and space. And the kids love going to Narnia because they get to see the king of Narnia, Aslan, who is a Christ figure. So going into our closets or going into our inner rooms to pray to God in the name of Jesus is like those kids entering into the wardrobe to go to Narnia. When we pray, we are transported to the very throne of God, before the mercy seat in God's temple in heaven. And that's where we can receive God's grace, receive God's forgiveness, receive God's Spirit and God's power. Jesus opened for us a direct path, a direct access to the Holy of Holies. And Jesus did that by paying a heavy price with His own life. It's as if Christ had put a wardrobe in our closet, in our inner room. And whenever we enter into the wardrobe, whenever we enter into a time of prayer in the name of Jesus, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. It's a great privilege, but how often do we enter into the wardrobe? Let us, as people of God, take advantage of this great privilege to enter into the Holy of Holies as often as we can. Shall we pray? Our Father, we are so grateful that Jesus Christ came to be the sin bearer of the world. All the weight of our sins was laid upon His shoulders, and He received the punishment that was for us. But we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and we know it, to give us life eternal. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we now have direct access to You. We have access to the Holy of Holies. And we can talk to You as our Father. Lord, we thank You for this privilege. Help us to not neglect meeting together as Your people. Help us to not neglect our time of prayer. Let us use this great privilege to enter into Your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.